let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio with Father John Wargle. Welcome back, Father John. Good to see you today.
Always glad to be back here with you, Danny.
I know this is probably the most fun thing I do in a week.
Yeah.
Hang out and talk about Scripture. What could be better?
I mean, yeah, really. Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about Joseph sort of going into this. He's in jail, and it's kind of like he's in the pit. I mean, he's got that same sort of feeling about God, like being separated from God, maybe?
Yeah.
And you're tying it in your post on ancienthopes.org. You're tying it to St. John of the Cross's book or his poem. I guess it is a book, right?
Well, it's a poem, and he wrote two books explaining what the eight stanzas are.
Okay, Dark Night of the Soul.
Of his poem, the Dark Night. One Dark Night, it starts out that way. Okay.
Yeah,
and I decided to do two posts on chapter 40 because I really want to emphasize what's going on here and how important this chapter is. And so next week, or the next post, we're going to talk about the structure of the narrative. This week, I just want to talk about the experience that Joseph has experienced, and we call it the dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, it's very important to me, and forgive me if I might talk too much about myself here, but I can only explain this phenomena through my own lens, really.
Sure, yeah.
I may have said something about my past when I was a junior in high school that summer after my junior year, that in 72, had this encounter with God. And I never knew you could have encounters with God, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
It was in the mountains. You remember that story?
Yes.
I probably told you about that, right? And then for the next 5 years throughout college, I would have a number of those encounters. And with every encounter, there's always a promise.
Mm-hmm.
And with every encounter, it also, there is this new phase in your life where it's sort of bumped up spiritually.
Yeah, right.
So it empowers you. And that's why he talks so much about encounter. It's in the very fabric of our vision statement and mission.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, through our encounters with Jesus Christ. You know. So, yeah, so nothing happens without encounters, really. And, of course, we know that God's always encountering us, especially in Mass when we partake faithfully, right?
Yes.
But, you know, back then, I didn't know any of this stuff, nothing. But I was really enjoying these encounters so much so that I had a preference just to be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I had a preference to be with Jesus than friends and whatever in college. And fortunately for me, my college had this great situation where we had woods along a lake.
It was beautiful. Wow. Nice.
Yeah. And so I would just memorize Scripture. I would go out there and just talk with Jesus for hours, okay? So this was a gift, okay? It was a pure gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sheer grace, you know, as St. John of the Cross uses that term in his poem, The Dark Night of the Soul. He'd say, the sheer grace of it all.
Uh-huh.
And it's just sheer grace, Danny. It's not because when you have these encounters because you're better than anyone else. And I mean, after all, we talked about Jacob, and he had these encounters. And, you know, he was quite a scoundrel, you know?
Yeah, he would be the last person that God should be encountering, we think.
Yeah. So Joseph had an encounter when he was young with the dreams, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Now, with these encounters, as we said before, and we've talked a lot about it, comes spiritual pride. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep on going on like this, I mean, spiritual encounters like candy. I mean, if everybody had encounters like this, you know, I mean, spirituality would be easy.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But God gives you these for a purpose, right?
Yeah.
And what happened to me, and this is the most awful story. Have you ever been really embarrassed before in front of a lot of people?
Yep.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to talk about it.
You don't even want to talk about it. Well, you know, at the senior week, at the end of the whole 4 years, for some reason, the popular kids asked me to give a little talk to the whole school, the professors, everything.
Wow.
And I didn't know anything about public speaking, you know. And so, Danny, I discovered then that I'm not a comedian.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I see where this is going.
I tried. I tried to say a string of jokes, and they weren't funny.
Yeah.
And after the first one, you know, people kind of looking at each other. And after the second one, I should have stopped and got into what I really wanted to talk about. But I was just on my pay. I memorized it, and I could only go from one thing to the next. And by the second or third joke, people were shifting in their seats, and I knew that this was going bad.
Yeah.
Okay, really, really bad. Then I started talking about what I really wanted to talk about was God in my life. But by that time, it was over.
You lost everybody, yeah.
And can you imagine the humiliation?
Oh, no. Yeah.
I couldn't even, you know, there's a bus that took us from the old campus to the new campus, and I wanted to crawl underneath the seat. I didn't want anybody to see me. And for years after that, whenever I thought about it, I just cringed. Now, it's 50 years since then, you know, it's kind of like I can just laugh it off, you know?
Yes, right.
No one remembers it, but
No, you do.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but what I didn't realize is that it initiated something in my life.
Hmm.
It initiated the dark night.
Huh.
Okay. And so that night afterwards, I went out and to talk with Jesus like I always did, but I was so troubled. And I would pray, but my prayers would not ascend to God. And at that moment, everything went blank. For 5 years, I was experiencing Jesus often at my fingertips. You know, if I was a little depressed, I'd go out and say a psalm, and boy, you know, come back feeling great.
Yeah, right.
You know, so Danny, this lasted for 7 whole years.
Oh, my gosh.
Where there was nothing. It was like the lights were out spiritually. Nothing.
Wow.
There was no signal. Okay. The radio was dead.
Wow. So you couldn't even tell, you didn't even feel like God was there.
No. No. I mean, that's the point.
Yeah.
You just feel like he's not there at all.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the energy that I had those 5 years having encounters, I'd still go out. I'd still pray. But it was more like a cry. Okay.
Right.
You know,
sure.
I started the post with Psalm 88. It is a very, very depressing.
I read it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's a good one for Good Friday because are the Psalms of the Messiah, right? And,
right.
And this is where Jesus was. But, you know,
yeah,
my
this is
soul
a cry.
Is full of trouble.
I was going to say, this is a cry that does not quit.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes from beginning to end.
That's right.
Yeah. So go ahead.
And it's like a howl, a prayer of like a howling dog, you know?
Right? Yeah.
For my soul is full of troubles. My life draws near to Sheol. I am reckoned among those who go down to the pit. Isn't that Joseph right there?
Sure.
And you certainly feel like a bit. I am a man who has no strength, like one forsaken among the dead. Okay. Like the slain that lie in the grave, like those who, you remember no more. Okay. For they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit in regions dark and deep, right?
Yeah. When I read this, I realized that that's what you were relating. You were relating it to Joseph and what he was going through. And I did not get that from the scriptures. I didn't dig that out of the scriptures, that Joseph was in this kind of a place. I thought, he's still blessed by God. You know, God is definitely still with him. The warden of the jail gives him responsibilities that make him like the top of the pile or whatever. But he really was separated.
Yeah, and when we closely examine the structure of chapter 40 next podcast, we'll see that indeed. This is dark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Now, what makes it so painful, and it is painful, we suffer physical pain, and that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It is bad. But to suffer spiritual pain is a whole different story.
Yeah.
Okay. So I went off to seminary, kind of like 3 or 4 years, and then I went into grad school, and for 7 years, nothing.
So during all that time, when you were in the seminary, this was after your college experience.
Yeah, in a Presbyterian seminary, there's nothing like formation like in a Catholic seminary, right?
Right, yeah.
And the Catholic world has all sorts of formation,
mm-hmm.
wisdom, that understand these things, but no one in the Presbyterian world that I knew, or the Baptist world, or anywhere in the Protestant world that I know anybody who really knew something about this.
Yeah, they were just educating you and
if you get the right doctrine in your noggin, you're fine,
yeah, you're
right?
Good. Yeah,
you
right.
know? And so one day, I was in the bookstore of this Presbyterian library, school, seminary, and I saw a little book, and it said, The Dark Night of the Soul.
Mm.
And as soon as I saw it, it was in my hand.
Yeah.
And my spirit told me, here is someone that understands my situation.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something that you can really relate to.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. And so I picked up The Dark Night of the Soul, and I definitely read through
the poem, but I couldn't get through all the rest of the material about it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so I picked up the book and I read it, and I really couldn't understand a lot of it,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because really it's a sequel to a book before it.
Yes.
It's called The Ascent of Mount Carmel. I didn't know that, okay?
Yeah.
And so I was diving right in to something that was way over my head.
Yeah.
But I did get an idea from it, and that was the whole problem of spiritual gluttony.
Mm.
Okay? Often God gives us many consolations, like he did for me, you know, and encounters. Promises. It's very heady stuff. I mean, it's almost like dope. I mean, you know,
yeah.
It's just like, whoa.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the ancienthopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
Often God gives us many consolations, like he did for me, you know, and encounters, promises. It's very heady stuff. I mean, it's almost like dope. I mean, you know,
yeah.
It's just like, whoa, a spiritual high type stuff, you know.
Right, that keeps on coming.
Yeah.
And gives you that mountaintop experience over and over.
Right, right. And you can't help, again, to be like Joseph, who was proud, you know?
Yeah.
Spiritual pride, you can't detect it very well. So anyways, in time, I read it, you know, and it helped me a bit, but it still was in the middle of this dark night. It was only a little later after I got out of the dark night. By the way, let me tell you something. The dark night is something that only God creates in someone, okay?
Yeah.
No one can say, well, I'm going to have a dark night, okay?
Right.
It's initiated by God, and Danny, you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
You can't get out of it.
Only God brings you out. Yeah.
Okay? Because he only knows how long you need Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to realize.
Right. And so 7 years is a long time.
Yeah, way too long.
Obviously thought that he needed to do a lot of heavy work on me, you know?
Wow, yeah. My gosh.
But it was during an illness, which is what C.S. Lewis would call the perfect illness, which is you're too sick to go out, but you're not that sick that you can't read. So I was reading, mm-hmm. and I was laying in bed, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just came flooding back into my soul.
Wow.
And I said, I'm out.
It's over. Praise God.
I knew all along in this dark night that God would be back.
Yeah.
I knew it. In the depths of my soul.
Sure, okay. But 7 years is a long time. And that, right. that realization that God would be back must have been growing dimmer and dimmer.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And there's so much we can say about this, but I'll just continue the story here. So, well, you know, a lot of people know more about this stuff than I do, but in the ascent of Mount Carmel, what it really talks about there is the dark night of the senses. I should say the active night of the senses and the active night of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And what St. John of the Cross is talking about there is that if we are guided by Jesus, Jesus can, and he will, help you in an active way to enter in a night, so to speak, to tame your senses.
Yeah.
Because our senses are just so full of stuff, right?
Sure. Well, they help drive us toward, you know, temptation and drive us toward sin a lot of times.
That's right. That's right. And if this is true in the old days, it's way true for us today with social media and everything.
There's a lot more out there now, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Right. And it's all designed to keep us from growing deeply in the Lord. So, you know, so a way to engage the active night of the senses is something that we can do with the help of God, okay? We can't just say, I'm doing this. Otherwise, it'll just be like some discipline anybody can do, okay?
Yeah.
But the Spirit prompts us, and so a perfect time for that would be, let's say, Lent, or even Advent, which is coming up right now, which is a penitential time, where you just fast, and you can fast anything, really, when you get down to it. You can fast food, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can fast time on your machines.
Sure, yes.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
Anything you can think of that's in that realm of the sensual that really is dominating your life.
Yeah, but it's God. My sort of realization is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's God working with us where we take a step. We are actively involved in making an attempt to purge ourselves of that sin and get our senses and spirit headed toward God.
Exactly. That's what's happening.
Right. And that's the difference between that, what's in the ascent, and what's in the dark night, is that God's sort of...
The passive, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so in the Ascent of Mount Carmel speaks a lot about what we can do through the power of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, right? And then there's the active night of the Spirit, which is, you know, the things that we can do in cleansing our spirits.
Yes.
Okay, and how do you cleanse your spirits? Well, you do it through prayer and those type of, you know, spiritual disciplines, which we really try to probe in the depths of our spirit, guided by Jesus, you know, to purge within us our interiors, right?
Yeah, sure.
So when you're talking about the passive night of the senses, where the lights go out, okay, it's initiated by God.
Mm-hmm.
They said, okay. The fun's over with regard to that. And really, you don't really have all that much pleasure in the sensory.
Right, yeah.
Because you've had so much deep experience of the spiritual. You know, and when that's gone, it's a night of the senses, and then you've got the passive night of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where you no longer have any spiritual connection with God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's like he's gone. Poof. And what really you need, and I didn't have, is a spiritual guide.
Yeah.
With that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Someone who understands the dark night and someone who can help you. Because if you make major life decisions when you are in the dark night, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, that's not going to turn out
well. And that actually happened to me, and I won't go into that sort of thing, but that's what happened to me. But somehow, you know, when God brings you out, you're purged. And, if you get a thorough purging, you're not in it, this thing for yourself, okay?
Right, yeah.
You're kind of like Jesus said, I've come to do your will, okay? Not your will, right?
I think that's, to me, that seems like the realization is that now I can say safely, I have not experienced this in my life. I certainly have experienced the first one where I'm working on my own with God, you know, like my own choice with God to try and purge myself of my sinful nature or whatever.
Right.
But the other one, I haven't had that experience.
And St. John of the Cross says that, you know, this is really a rather rare thing. Okay, for his own purposes, right?
Yeah.
In recent literature, maybe the last 50, 70 years, when contemplation has become a big thing, and both in the secular world of the New Age and in the Christian world with books like "Let's Contemplate," and everybody talks about the dark night of the soul without really understanding what it is, and they kick it around a lot.
Yeah.
And just because you're depressed. Okay, well, I'm experiencing the dark night of the soul. But there's a lot of things that could lead to depression, right?
Sure.
One of them would be that you're just tied too much into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's depressing. And you live on the surface spiritually, but you're not even aware of that. You don't even know that you're like a water bug on top of the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Too afraid of the depths, you know.
To go into them. And that's what it requires is
That's what it
falling.
Does. Yeah, right. Yeah. Again, you can't go there alone.
No, right. Okay. Yeah. God's going to do that. Yeah.
Right. And there's such beautiful imagery in like the living flame of love, you know, how he talks about the God shedding light in the deep caverns of the soul. We all have these deep caverns. And it's amazing how much of the mythology and movies that we see. Like in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, I think it is, you know, there's a sea monster, okay? And the characters, the kids, you know, at least in the movie, I haven't read the book recently, you know, but it's, you know, you've got to, you know, this sea monster takes you, it goes down into the depths, right? And you have to fight face your dragons, right?
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Who wants to do that?
Nobody.
Right? Nobody wants to really notice that, you know? So we kind of let our dragons sleep sort of peacefully, you know, down the caverns. And then he stirs every once in a while, and it stirs the water up here, and, you know, and then you're disturbed, but you're not really knowing why and that sort of thing, because you really don't know what's down in your interior.
Yeah, you got to spend time.
Yeah,
to understand.
Yeah.
That.
Now, just because you haven't experienced the dark night, the passive nights of the senses of spirit, doesn't mean that we can't be deeply spiritual. Because there's so much that God can do in leading us and guiding us into the active nights, right?
Yeah.
And grace pours in through that, right?
Yeah. Sure.
So this is what I wanted to bring up in this podcast, just to initiate us into this whole idea of the dark night.
Sure, and that idea that there's a deeper spiritual realm that we can work toward,
right?
And God can bring us into. Like he seems to be working with Joseph in this scripture.
And if he decides to do surgery in a big way, the truth of the matter is that when we're in a dark night like this, and we're howling in pain, like on the altar, of God, you know, and suffering this, you know, this is far beyond what a lot of Catholics say. If something bad happens in your life, well, offer it up.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. You are on the block dying and howling in pain. And we think God's so far away, but he's really closer to you.
Yeah.
And those moments than he is in any other moment.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And if so we can realize
paradox,
that. Yeah. If we can continue to realize that.
You.
Yeah.
Right. Because he's doing the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when he sews you up and says, okay, anesthesia goes up and boom, you're up and going, you know that something's happened to you. That was good. And so there's two things here. Encounters with God are so fundamental. To at least in my life, these and I don't get counters anymore. I mean, mm-hmm. like that. I mean, it's been decades.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but I don't really need it because God. It's kind of like what C.S. Lewis talks about: surprised by joy. When he was converted, he had this deep, deep sense of joy, right? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't get those so much later on because he says, "Well, I just don't need them anymore."
Yeah.
Right. I know that. That God is true. I know that God is there because of my memory. I those things are more real than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So in my life, personally, it was the encounters and the dark night. Both of those were so fundamental to my formation. Yeah. And as we shall see, it's fundamental to Joseph's formation in our next podcast.
Good. Okay, wow. This was a great one. Thanks so much for sharing.
Okay. God bless.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.